Well, hi there, Jonathan Doyle with you for the weekly podcast. It's been a little while. If you're a regular listener, thanks for your loyalty and thanks for the positive feedback. And I've got a lot of good stuff here and I want to jump straight in as I always do. I hope I don't sound like I've got a cold. I do have a cold. I get it once a year. And when I was thinking of recording this, I was like, how does the cold always know when to come back? It's kind of the same time every year. And I don't know how it knows that, but this is going to end up sounding like a Seinfeld episode if I would think about it too much. So forgive me if I'm a little bit nasally. I've just drawn your attention to it if you hadn't even thought about it. But I want to jump straight in with some gold. A lot of stuff I want to share. It's a real mix of things this week. What's been happening? I've been busy and not traveling so much, working on a lot of stuff, doing a huge amount of reading. I want to talk about that in a minute. I just can't encourage you enough to really commit to learning. Now, some people go, I'm not a reader. Like, I'm a voracious reader. I just read so much. I read great fiction. I read tons of business and peak performance stuff. But if you follow me on Instagram, you'd notice I just bought a copy of Plutarch's Roman Lives, written sort of 2,500 years ago. And it is literally like he wrote it yesterday, the idiom, the way in which he speaks. And he just gives you these amazing insights into people's lives. And I was reading one of the lives that he was covering, the life of Cato the Elder. And it was fascinating to read that some of the principles that made Cato so successful are just the basic principles that I teach and that so many people in personal development who care about human growth keep sort of communicating because they're not new. You know, it's amazing the longer I'm in this space, the truth that the basic principles of how to grow, how to change are just so constant. You know, Cato was really big on serving people. He did huge amounts of stuff generously and served people. He was really focused on self-discipline. And it's amazing to notice that his commitment to these things led to a lot of success. And, you know, just the other day, I was listening to an interview between Lewis Howes from the School of Greatness, was doing an interview with Tony Robbins in Tony's private jet. And it was all about the same kind of stuff as Cato. It was about serving as many people as possible and self-discipline. So I want to encourage you that if you're new to personal development or personal growth, or whether you're an old hand, these principles work. You know, if it works for Plutarch and it works for Lewis Howes and it works for me, it's just cool to recognize them. Yeah, we're always learning. We're always tweaking at the edges and science and psychology and new fields like physiology and nutrition are always bringing us new insights. But the deep principles that really shape personal human growth are not rocket science. And what we've got to do is work them. We've got to keep turning up every day and you've got to keep putting them into practice. And I just want to encourage you to have patience. You know, even last night I was thinking about that. I was thinking, you know, I'm going to talk about it in a minute because the danger is that if you're starting to get excited about changing any area of your life, the risk is that when it doesn't happen quickly, you get really disillusioned. And you know, there's plenty of people out there selling, you know, the whole get sort of changed fast thing, right? Like get this seminar, buy this program, and everything will change quickly. And when it doesn't, you know, we become cynical and we question ourselves. But I just want to just encourage you to keep showing up. Now, let's press in. A whole bunch of stuff to do. Look, the first thing I want to say is something I learned on the weekend. I want to talk to you about the power of encouragement. The power of encouragement. So what I did on the weekend is, as you know, as a regular listener, I'm an obsessive cyclist, just absolutely ludicrously obsessed with staying super fit and competitive, and I love to ride. You know, like last Thursday, I got up at like 3 in the morning, I was on the bike by about 4:30, I was doing these crazy hill repeats up this, if you've been to Canberra, you'd know Black Mountain with the big Telstra Tower on the top. So I was going up and down that hill at like 4:30 in the morning, just doing sets. And I was like, I was loving it. I had like a really good podcast on and I was learning and it was the solitude. It was pitch black and I just loved it. Moon, this crescent moon was there. Everyone's going, man, you are insane. I'm going, I love it. Anyway, so on the weekend, I wasn't competing, but I volunteered. My daughter and I, she's only young, but we volunteered to help out at the Women and Junior Cycle Tour. So there's a really strong, awesome women's cycling culture here where I live in Canberra, and a big junior thing, and people coming internationally. It was a huge event. And I volunteered to ride the Harley as one of the motorbike marshals leading the groups out. It was really cool. had a great day. It was the most amazing weather, and you know, people everywhere. It was really exciting. And it's just great to see so many people, you know, healthy, you know, energetic people turning up, you know, really elite athletes. And it was great, too, to watch so many, you know, just people having a go, you know, women in their 30s and in 40s even, just still loving the sport, getting out on a great day and giving their best. But what I noticed is my first job, before I did the motorbike job later in the day, was I got given a stop-go sign and a high-vis jacket. So, you know those stop-go guys that have the sign, stop-go? I was given that, and I was given this job, and Olivia came with me and my daughter. It was really cool. We had great fun. We were there for a few hours doing that first job. But part of my job was there was an individual time trial. So the riders go out, and they go out on their own, and they've got this course to do, and they've got to do it as fast as they can. And so they leave at 30-second gaps. So every 30 seconds, a rider went flying past me. And so for about 3 or 4 hours, I just spontaneously kept encouraging and yelling at every single rider. Nobody got off. It was really funny because some of them, I was yelling so loud that some of them got confused and thought I was giving them directions. And they were really looking up going, which way am I? I go, nah, dude, I'm just like encouraging you. But here's what I noticed. After doing this for like 15, 20 minutes, something happened to me. Like, I'm relatively positive, right? You can hear that in my voice. But the more I did it, the more, you know, sort of happy I got. I sort of became more and more positive and energized. And I just noticed that as I put out this energy, as I encouraged people and spoke positivity and life and you know, and just encouragement over them, I felt more and more, you know, just alive and positive. So it's not rocket science, but if you encourage people, you feel encouraged. So what do you think would happen if you did that more? I just want to give you that because it really works. When you encourage people, your face is a certain way and your body posture and your breathing patterns and all this physiology, you know, what's it like when we criticize somebody? You know, our body posture changes, our language changes. We're like, you know, you never do this, and we speak differently. And it affects how we feel. So I just want to encourage you to think about, are you encouraging people? Where are you encouraging people? Where could you encourage someone? Just make it a practice. Make it one of your disciplines. Okay, so that's what I learned about the power of encouragement. I want to just really, I don't want to keep using that word encourage, but I want to just, I want to inspire you to do that regularly. Because I noticed that it really changed how I was feeling. Now, I want to talk to you about a couple of book I've been reading. And I've been reading a great book called The Compound Effect by Darren Hardy. It's been around for a while. What I love about it, there's a lot of fluff. I often say there's a lot of fluff in the personal development space. There's a lot of stuff that's out there. But this was a really good book. I love the simple principle was that it really worked for me, which was, and I mentioned it at the start of the podcast, we can often think if we're going to grow and change, that we've got to do these massive things, you know, quit all our bad habits by Tuesday, lose 400 kilos, run a marathon, and, you know, you come into this space and you're like, yeah, I'm going to do all this stuff. And what I loved about Darren Hardy's book, The Compound Effect, was just, he was like, you know, small changes, small daily incremental changes are so powerful. And he was like, in the book, he was like, you know, just write down daily something you want to change, like what you're eating or how much exercise you're doing. Just monitor it every day. Make a tiny change, just a small change. Eat one less thing. Encourage one more person a day. You know, walk an extra kilometer. Just little changes. And he said, if you map these out over time, these small changes make a huge difference. I felt really encouraged by that because I was like, I'm always trying to change and grow, but I felt really encouraged. He was a guy who'd really, you know, been in this space for years and years. He's the founder of Success Magazine. But he was like, you want to know what works? What works is small daily changes. And a few days later, there's a great, great quote from John Maxwell, which I put on Instagram. And if you're not following me on Instagram, get on Instagram. If you don't have an Instagram account, just get one. Go to my account, follow my account, turn on post notifications so you'll know every time I post. I post about 3 to 4 times per day. It's always good stuff. So I posted that John Maxwell one there. And he was just like, you know, successful people tweak things in their daily routine. He said, you won't be successful until you get a successful routine and tweak things on a daily basis. So I want you to think about where you're stuck right now. And I don't want to beat yourself up about where you're not. I just want you to drill down to a small change. What small thing could you do that if you did it for 30 days or 40 days, you just tweaked it, you just get some momentum. How many times have I talked about the snowball going down the hill? Sometimes all you need is to just get started, just to roll that snowball a fraction and things will begin to change. So Don't overlook the power of small, incremental, daily changes. Just that extra bit of walking, that extra, you know, effort in a relationship, that extra bit of study, that extra commitment at work, just a little bit can eventually compound into a big result. So I'm definitely working on that. I'm training a little bit harder each day, and I'm asking myself at the end of each day, how have I done, you know? And on that, on reviewing your progress, again, I was reading John Maxwell. I bought Success Magazine the other day. I was reading this article by John Maxwell. And if you don't know who he is, like, John Maxwell is probably the most famous leadership expert in the world. And I saw him live last year, and he's just great to see live. But he, like, sets a week aside every year to review his year. And he has, like, a day a month to review his month. And he says every day of his life, he's got his journal out at the end of the day, reviewing what worked, what didn't, what he would change. And I've started to do that too. You know, it's that old thing, success leaves clues. Just follow and do what the successful people do. So if I just read that. I mean, if John Maxwell is doing a daily review, I'm doing a daily review. And it's not new, right? St. Ignatius of Loyola, who founded the Jesuit order, you know, he was famous for his examination of conscience every day. What have I done well? What haven't I done well? What would I make a difference tomorrow? So you see, these practices have always been there. Now, these basic principles. So there's a thought for you, right? Do that. Get a journal and just at the end of each day, take 10 minutes. What did I do well today? What didn't I do well? What would change? What would I do differently? Where did I let someone down or myself down? What can I learn? I just got to tell you that these practices and these systems of just doing this stuff regularly bring the changes. Now, the next big insight that I've had has again taken me back. I've been listening to Jim Rohn. I don't know if you're familiar with Jim Rohn, R-O-H-N. Jim is kind of like the godfather of the modern personal development movement. And I was listening to an audio of his just yesterday. So I had my headphones on, I'm cleaning the house, and I'm like, you know, that's what I'm like. I'm a maniac, right? Like, I always use my time. So I'm cleaning the house, which I like to do. I've got my headphones in, I'm listening to something. So I'm listening to Jim Rohn, who's the guy that really inspired the whole current generation of big global personal development people. Now, what I love about him is the character ethic. He was huge on this basic idea, which was, you've got to stop looking for things to change outside until you change them inside. His core principle, and he taught so much stuff, was that basically comes down to this. For things to be different, I would have to be different. I don't know if you've heard that, if you're familiar with him. Some of you will be, many of you won't. I posted on Instagram. Again, come and follow me on Instagram and get these as they come out. I think I posted it Saturday afternoon. I'm looking at it right now here in the studio. I can see the one I posted. For things to be different, I would have to be different. And it's so simple, but it is so profound. And I want to really tell you honestly, this had a big impact on me. I've been like, yeah, like, I have to be different. If I want a different outcome in my life, if I want to see changes and things happening, I need to be different in the world. And it was all about going to work on you. You know, go and just keep changing who you are, keep tweaking, keep growing every day. And if you make those internal changes over time, then your outside, you know, whole outside thing will change. But I spent 10 years teaching relationship seminars to over 300,000 people. And I met vast numbers of people in terrible relationships, some of them experiencing, you know, all sorts of psychological, emotional abuse. It was terrible. But, you know, basically, you know, the question is like, how do they end up with these people? How does this girl or this guy end up in this terrible relationship? And it was always the same until they had the help and the assistance and they did the work to change what they thought they deserved. So they had to have an internal change. And then once that internal change happened, they wouldn't settle for toxic relationships. But it wasn't just a matter of finding this amazing person around the next corner until they changed and something happened inside them and they went, you know what? I deserve better. I'm going to care for myself better first and then better relationships will come. Hear that right, because I don't want you to hear that as I justify them, you know, it's justifying people being treated badly, because no, I was always encouraging them, no, you deserve better and choose differently. But I realized listening to people like Jim Rohn that until we make those internal changes, we won't have the external reality. Now that you've got to hear that, it's really powerful. So I want to challenge you. What's your internal reality? It's really weird. Like, your brain has to lead. Your spirit has to lead. You have to go, you know what? I want to go big. Like, I'm in a phase of my career now where I've just closed a lot of doors. I don't use the metaphor of burning bridges. I didn't burn bridges. I closed doors. I've said goodbye to a lot of things. I've really gone down some new paths quite recently, moving into the corporate space and doing big conferences and speaking more about business and personal growth. And for that to happen, I had to lead differently in my brain. I had to begin to see that different reality way before it actually came to pass. So have a listen to Jim Rohn, really good stuff, and just, you know, soak in that whole thing. I just downloaded a 7-hour audio, so I'll get on the bike and I'll do some long rides and I'll just soak in this stuff and get it on board. So, you know, please be encouraged that I am so committed to learning, and I want you to be encouraged by what I do and make a commitment in your own life to that level of learning and growth. All right. The other thing I want to talk about is a lovely friend in London, Eve. If you're listening, hello, Eve. Thanks for your email. Eve sent me a great email about personality tests. She had some questions about, you know, personality tests and what I thought of things like Myers-Briggs. So my off-the-cuff answer to that would simply be the whole personality type indicator thing is like a business. It's a big business. A lot of consultants make a truckload of money. I can't speak to the science of it. I've actually done Myers-Briggs. I'm going to give you my gut feeling response to it. You know, I think if you end up doing a sort of personality indicator, unless it's phenomenally empowering and it's really debriefed and unpacked really well, I mean, doing a questionnaire online or in a seminar and someone says, oh, you are this, if it's not done right, it can be very limiting because you think, well, this is who I am, but, you know, and that's it, and it's very narrow. And so here's a couple of thoughts on, I guess I want to talk about personality in general, and as you listen, but I want to talk about your personality. I read a book a couple of years ago called Loving the Personality That God Gave You. Now, regardless of your religious background, it's really worth getting a copy of that book, Loving the Personality That God Gave You. I found it really, really powerful. It goes way back to sort of Thomas Aquinas, sort of, you know, in the 12th century. It goes back to these four core personality types, only four, melancholic, phlegmatic, choleric, and sanguine, which I hadn't really heard of, but I really unpacked this book, and it was just so powerful. It gave me a meta-narrative, a kind of broad understanding of core personality types. And I found it really helpful. And they make the point that definitely as you go along in life, the weaknesses of your core personality type can improve and the strengths can be made even stronger. But I guess what I really want to say is I do believe that each of us has, you know, probably falls into those broad four categories. That's why it's an important book to read. Because once you understand roughly how you're created, I think you can actually leverage that really successfully. I want to give you an example. This always amazes people, but I am a 100% melancholic. I'm highly introverted, and my idea of a good day is often like a good book and total silence. And people see me on stage, they hear me on the podcast, they see me on the videos, and I'm like out there. And I want to tell you, that's real. That's real. But the ability to do that and to have this energy comes from a very consistent, very deep personal spiritual life and silence and reading and solitude. I wouldn't say I'm a loner necessarily, but I wouldn't die if I was left on a desert island for a considerable period of time. And you know what? This is how I'm made. I've always been like this. I've had times of being extroverted and crazy and I can be out there, but my home base is to come back to this quite settled, calm, quiet, self-regulating, comfortable in my own space kind of personality. And if I don't get those needs met, I burn out. And I did burn out several years ago. I burned out really badly. And I'm still learning, right? Because, you know, I started this podcast talking about volunteering at the cycle race. When I got home from the cycle race, I was exhausted. And it took me ages to figure out why. Like, I'm really fit. I eat really well. Don't drink alcohol, any of that stuff. So, I've got a lot of energy most of the time. But I was wiped out. Yes, it had been a long day. We'd been up early. But you know what I finally figured out When I was at the event, there were thousands of people there. You know, hundreds of cars, activity everywhere, loudspeakers, music, noise, interactions with all these people. Now, because of my broad personality type, I actually get drained by lots of stimulation. So when there's lots of people and noise and activity, I can be into it, I can enjoy it, but it actually drains me. You know, recently when I was in the US, when I wasn't on stage, I'd be working in the hotel room, and I would have, you know, often a day on my own, just in the hotel room, and I get very energized, I get a lot of work done. So coming from that cycle event, I'd been quite drained by all that activity. Whereas, a choleric, which is the other person, one of the other personality types, is amped by that stuff. They come back pumped, they're $1 million. So, you know, introversion, extroversion, where your energy comes from, I want to encourage you to come to peace with your core personality type. You know, so get that book or look it up. You know, basically melancholics are kind of, you know, they've got to think and process a lot, and a lot of introversion and quiet and reading. And, you know, cholerics are like loud and leadership types, and they're out there and they're energetic and they're in people's faces and they love a party. Sanguines are quite accommodating and they like relationship. And, phlegmatics are like your ultimate Jack Johnson types, right? You're really chilled, nothing gets to them, it's all good. I've got a brother-in-law, he might be listening, and he's awesome, you know, loving bits, amazing guy. He's off the spectrum of phlegmatic. He's just like so chilled. Like, it's amazing how we're made so differently. And we can all relate, but I really want to encourage you to know that personality type. Because if you don't honor it, you will get exhausted. You will get cranky and burned out. So whatever your personality type is, I guess the answer is to leverage that, to come to peace with it, to know its strengths and to know its weaknesses. So all that is a long way of answering the basic principle from Eve's question, that I'm not big on some of the latest typology management indicators. I'm not an expert on them, so I don't want to speak out of ignorance. But I do believe in these four core personality types, and it's definitely worth looking up that book, How to Love the Personality that God Gave You. So there's a lot there. What else? Look, I want you to come to Instagram because there is gold there. And I love posting there. It's my main place of posting at the moment. There's a lot of stuff I do on Facebook. If you're not following me on Facebook, please come across to www.fbjonathan.com and that'll take you straight to the page. You like the page, and I'm just constantly putting stuff out there. I'm about to launch a new business. I'm going to do some real boutique executive coaching, and that'll be here in my home city. Working within the corporate space and with executives. But I am also soon going to release a major, major online program for people who really want to get ahead in their careers and really maximize really what they're doing in life. So keep an eye out for that. It's going to be my best work. It's going to be a private members community. I'm already working on that. So stay tuned. But come across to Instagram. You can find me at Jonathan_Doyle.co on Instagram. If you just go to Instagram and search for Jonathan_Doyle.co, or you can find any of the Instagram links here on the website at JonathanDoyle.co. You can find me on Twitter as well. I hope that's useful. Feel free, as always, to email me with questions if you're stuck on something. It's where a lot of my gold comes from on the podcast. But a lot of stuff in there, huh? A lot of stuff. So maybe listen to it again. Maybe take some notes. For things to be different in your life, you got to be different. Be an encourager. Leverage your personality type. Remember the compound effect, small daily changes, huh? Small daily changes. You don't have to conquer the world tomorrow. Go for the small stuff. Okay, I hope that's been useful. I've enjoyed it. Come and follow me on social. Get in touch with me on social media. I'd love to hear from you. I just love interacting with people. And if I can help you in any way, I really want to do that. Grab this podcast, share it with people. I'd love you to post it on your social media feeds. So if you just copy the link and post it wherever you post socially, that'd be really cool, because then it gets more people a chance to hear this, more people get a chance to grow, more people get happy, their relationships get better, and we get world peace by Tuesday. Maybe that's the plan. Either way, I'm Jonathan Doyle. This has been the Weekly Podcast. Thank you genuinely for the privilege of your attention and your time, because it's a valuable commodity. I hope I've been a blessing to you. And if that's been the case, your job is now to go and be a blessing to others, because we are blessed to be a blessing to others. I'm Jonathan Doyle. This is the Weekly Podcast. I'll speak with you again very soon.